Our scripture reading for this morning is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. Most people, and sadly most Christians, if they were asked whether people are basically good or basically bad, will say that people are basically good. Oh, sure, they have rough edges and do some despicable things, but deep down, they are good. It is the philosophy of the world, and it has penetrated the church also. God has a lot to say about this, and it does not match what most people think. Listen to what God says about the nature of people. Please follow along as I read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32 from the New American Standard Bible. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to a degrading passions, for their woman exchanged natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desires towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, and untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them.
We're focusing today on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I feel a little bit like possibly Epaphroditus felt. You're saying Epaphra who? Well, Epaphroditus is mentioned in Philippians, and he was one of Paul's helpers, and he was involved in getting information from one place to another. He was kind of the go-between. We read in chapter 2 and in chapter 4 about him being involved in information going from Paul to the Philippians and a gift going from the Philippians back to Paul. So he's the one that was in the in-between spot. And that's me today. I'm in between. I'm sure Pastor Ike is watching online, and so I'm sure he'll be praying for us and for me. And I'm praying that I don't do anything too bad with the notes that were provided for me. I appreciate that. That's a big help. The spiritually walking dead is the title that we've got before us for this passage. And I really like that comparison. Pastor Ike arrived at that as he was thinking back about when he was in Japan. Now, I've told him numerous times, don't worry about overdoing Japan stories. It's because sometimes he said, well, you know, I don't know how often I should talk about that. And I've told him there's no danger of overdoing it because they're always interesting, even to hear something a second time. So he was reminiscing about Japan and things that he saw when they were there those years. They returned in 94 and discovered that there are a number of things that kind of came across from the Orient to our country. Things like some foods. And for a while he was involved in sales at Smith Foods. And ice cream was part of some things there. And he remembers that coffee was a popular flavor in Japan long before it was here. And there are other things, too, that have carried over. Japanese anime, that's a kind of little characters that are drawn, have become popular among some. And another carryover is zombies. And that's where we tie in here with the spiritually walking dead. Hollywood even made a series by the title The Walking Dead. And why people have found that so fascinating is a little bit of a mystery, but they have. And there's a parallel biblically. God makes it clear that people, human beings, are walking dead in God's sight. Without the work of Christ in our lives, we are dead. And that's what it tells us here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. We had a description about that in Romans chapter 1 that Brother Carl just read. It's quite a bleak picture. And you don't have to look around too long right now in our society to see things happening that are described there in Romans chapter 1. The evidence is all around us that people are living in a dead condition, separated from God. Well, let's just have a little bit of review as far as the overall picture of Ephesians. Now, these first three chapters are, you could summarize them as doctrine, and the second three chapters as duty of believers. Chapter 1 describes individuals chosen by God for His glory. Chapter 2, individuals chosen by God to serve. Chapter 3, individuals chosen and saved to form a new group. To form a new group. Do you know what that group is? The new group? The church. Oh yeah, a couple of you are ready for that one. And then of course, chapters 4 to 6, what the church does. So, what's the relevance of this for you, for me? How does this play into our everyday lives? Well, it's important because if we're going to navigate life here on this sin-infected planet, then we need to understand the truth about what's going on. We're like soldiers in enemy territory. We're like non-resident aliens or pilgrims, travelers. This world really isn't our home. We're just on our way through, as the old song says. Now, as we went through chapter 1, we got a lot of good information. about our status in Christ. We're chosen. We're heirs. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. And we've been equipped with the Holy Spirit. So everything pretty much for those first 23 verses of chapter 1 was positive. Here's your status. Here's what's happened. You are blessed. And then Paul prays that their eyes would be opened, that they'd understand, and that you would understand the blessings. Well, now he kind of takes a step back, remembering where you came from. And that's the focus that we look at, that we were dead. Things were bleak. Now, here's the verses spelled out. And if you look on the right-hand side of your bulletin, if you open your bulletin up to that full size of that 8.5 by 11, you'll see these verses over on the right side, and it corresponds to how it ties in with the points of the message as we come on down through here. So here's the verses, and I'm just going to read them out of my New American Standard Bible from 1 to 3 here. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So it's bleak. It's not a good situation. We are not basically good, as Brother Carl explained in the opening before he read the scripture. Now, there's an interesting connection that you really need to make sure you get. Notice the red circling there. The connection between the sons of disobedience and these believers that are being addressed here in the book of Ephesians. Sons of disobedience. Rebellion. Disobedience against God that characterizes unbelievers. And that was you before you came to Christ. That was the Ephesians before their salvation. So let's look at our spiritual state of existence before God made us alive. There are these different descriptions of deadness. Now, how dead can you be? I mean, either you're dead or you're alive, right? I mean, this is kind of interesting. But the level of decay that something can reach sometimes is pretty severe. But people are not basically good. Their heart is deceitful and wicked. Here we've got a couple of verses that give some description. Proverbs 28:9, he who turns his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And Psalm 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Trespasses and sins, plural. There are numerous acts that people do against God, missing his mark of righteousness and deliberately going against what he has said. That's the basic human condition. Not basically good, basically rebellious and resistant against God. So we sought what the world had to offer before God made us alive. That was the goal. The course of this world is an important phrase in verse 2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And it's the way the world thinks, the course of this world. The three things that are the world is all about, we listed last week from 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, pleasure, possessions, pride. That's what the world is all about. And you don't have to look very hard to see the evidences. You can pick on the advertising community quite easily, because you're constantly being told that you need, that's the word they use, you need this newest, most advanced, most amazing item. For only $49.95, you can, whatever it might be, probably not $49.95 anymore, it's probably $249.95 now. But there's just always this desire to convince you that you are not up with the times, you are not in step if you don't have this. That's the way the world thinks. Right now, again, we've got plenty of examples of worldly thinking all around us. This whole idea that you can choose your gender, it is, how shall I say it? I won't try to be kind. It's absurd. I could never have guessed that we would get to the point where people would actually believe that. But it's a worldly mindset that I'm in charge. I can decide. Not God, if he exists. And the force, the avalanche of lies and evil just keep on going. Right now we have in our Supreme Court some that will not agree to defining what a woman is. They don't want to offend somebody. But they're deceived and they're blind to the truth, and anybody's capable of being in that kind of a situation. You know, it's easy to stand here and look down on people that are taking these views, these ungodly views. But it's possible for you and for me to believe lies at various times as well. Another realm of worldliness that Pastor Ike focused on was in the realm of sports. He said when he was in high school in Smithville, he only knew one Christian, and that person was weird. He just didn't think that person had it together at all. And that person didn't even like sports. And Pastor Ike was all about football back in that day. I can relate to that on a different sport. I wasn't into football. I was into basketball and some other things too, but they had to work around basketball. That was the center for me. And, you know, today we look around and we see the depth to which people throw themselves into sports and following their favorite everything. And it appears that things are definitely out of balance. So we're going to watch a video, see if you can identify. And it's not just about that particular sport that they focused on there. It's all kinds of different sports that people just completely give themselves to. It becomes a religion. I remember when our children were of the age to play baseball, and we made it clear to the coach that there would be certain times they wouldn't be available. It was clear. As the season went on, when there were Wednesday night practices or games, and our kids weren't there, I started to notice that their playing time in general just started to decline. Interesting. The world's way of thinking. It's a major influence. Let's move on to another point, another thought. In the past, before salvation, we submitted to Satan's rule before God made us alive. If you ask somebody, are you a follower of Satan? They would probably say no. Or they might even deny that he exists. But listen to what God's word tells us in 2 Corinthians 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So someone who can't be seen, we're talking about Satan, exerts strong influence on people. They're spiritually blind and they don't even know it. They're blind to their own blindness. The Spirit refers to this impersonal force which is controlled and directed by Satan. You might deny that there is a Satan, but denying that there are murders, kidnapping, stealing, blasphemy, etc., would mean that you have your head in the sand. It's the denial of Satan's existence which makes his control and influence so easy over people who disobey God. They not only follow Satan, they enjoy it. Well, this is describing the condition of those dead in sin. A Christian couple told their sons to be kind to the boys next door, but not to become close companions with them. They explained that these boys could get them in trouble because of their dirty talk, their fighting, and their disrespectful attitude. Now, when the father of the boys heard this, he was angry. He said to the Christian father, "You think your kids are too good for mine?" "No," the believer replied quietly, "my kids have so many bad traits that they need all the encouragement they can get in the right direction. In fact, we too are sinners who need repentance, need forgiveness. That's why we believe on Jesus Christ. We're not better than you or your boys. We are seeking to warn them and protect them from the attitude and spirit of this world." That illustration was provided by Pastor Ike. And I read that and thought, I can relate to this on both sides. So I was on the side sometimes of being led in a bad direction as a young person. And then sometimes I was the one doing the leading. Now, I wasn't really extremely old when I got saved. I was almost 15. But there's a lot of bad stuff you can do between first grade and ninth grade. And I was I was involved in some very negative things. I was in the habit of telling and listening to many off-color jokes. The back of the school bus was a great place for exchanging those. And I remember one time being introduced to a young man that I'd never met before, and it was only about 5 minutes, and I was telling him my latest off-color joke, and I told it to him, and I was so disappointed he didn't see the humor in it. So I thought, well, he needs to be enlightened. He needs to be brought up to speed. So I told this guy, you know, I could explain some of these terms to you so that you would be able to enjoy these jokes. Well, I'm glad to tell you that he declined. He didn't want to know what I had to tell him. But I thought I was going to help him. I thought I was doing him a favor. Because I was being carried along by worldly thinking. Those kind of things are actually referred to almost in detail in chapter 5. You know, we'll get there later this year. Verse 4 talks about filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting. That's the world. That's the condition of the world. And then our self-serving life beforehand. You remember the rich young ruler. He came showing interest in what Jesus had to say. He was outwardly religious and morally upright. But Jesus showed him that his basic inner drive was selfish. And he too needed forgiveness. He too needed a new birth and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So our condition before God worked was that we were all about our own desires, craving whatever I want, whatever I like. When Pastor Ike worked at Smith Dairy, he discovered that they called the sale of ice cream impulse sales, impulse buying. You know, ice cream isn't a need. It's a want, and for some people, it's a very strong want. The same impulse applies to stealing, cheating, pornography, harming others, etc. Summarized by the lust of the flesh. It's a desire to follow our own inner ungodly desires, which manifest themselves in various ways. But it's not just physical. It goes beyond that. It's also mental. We were submerged physically and mentally before God made us alive. We followed the desires of the flesh and of the mind, it tells us in verse 3. Now, a man by the name of Nate thought that he could just do what he wanted to do, and he found out the hard way that it's very dangerous to just follow your own desires. In the past, we've had Brother Mike Wingfield with us for meetings. Brother Tim St. Clair is another speaker that we've had in the past. And they both reminded us that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And that's what Nate discovered. Other sins listed in this book of Ephesians that we could plug into that little phrasing: lying, line will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Bitterness. Bitterness will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's true of greed, and silly talk, and lust, and anger, and scheming, and a lot of other things. But these ones that I mentioned, I specifically chose because they seem, at the front, at the beginning, they seem kind of harmless. Just a little lie. Just a little bit of bitterness and animosity towards somebody. It's not that much. Just a little bit of greed. I only lose my temper once in a while. Just a little bit of anger. Just a little bit of scheming. Etc. You get the picture. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And people that are not guided by God's Spirit, their heart hasn't been regenerated, they're just going down this road. They're just going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. That's how this man that we saw in the video could get himself into such a difficult situation, because he was just following his own worldly, Satan-driven desires. So when we look at the third verse of our verses in Ephesians 2, it tells us that we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You know, many years ago, a preacher announced his message title for the next week. It was, "Why Your Dog Does What It Does." A number of pet owners came to hear the message, and this is what he said. "A dog does what it does because it's a dog. That's its nature. You've seen kids do things. And you've noticed that you could tell it was similar. There were connections to their parents. There is a biological connection. There's a spiritual connection. We act like Adam and Eve because we're separated from God just like they were. Our very nature, that is, the characteristics which are a part of us, our thinking, our actions, our desires, all of these things offend God. They put us under the wrath of God. It's not just a bad habit. It's not just something that's annoying. It's sin. It's rebellion against God, and He judges sin. It's serious. He's a righteous judge who must judge righteously, and therefore, if we are not in Christ, then we are in the wrath of God. The only thing that can rescue us is God Himself. I like church history. This past fall, I audited the church history course through our practorium, which Pastor Ike taught. And I still had my church history notebook from 24 years ago. I feel old. And he taught at that time too. And it's amazing some of the things that God does, and it gets recorded. Some of the ways that He saves people. And during the ministry of John Wesley, there was a certain ungodly tavern keeper who was very fond of music. So he decided to attend one of John Wesley's gatherings in order to hear the singing, just the singing. That's all. But he was determined that he was not going to listen to the sermon. Not at all. Just the music. So he goes to the service, and the music gets done, and so he puts his fingers in his ears when John Wesley gets up to speak. And here's what happened. A fly landed on his nose. And he took one hand out of his ear to get rid of that fly. And in that moment, when he did this, he heard 9 words of the sermon. Here's the 9 words he heard. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And it stuck. And that's all he could think about for the next period of time. He came to the next meeting and didn't put his fingers in his ears and was saved. The grace of God at work. It's amazing. You know, people are not basically good with just a few rough edges. That's what the world will tell you. So-and-so, you know, he's just a really good person deep down inside, but he's just got some rough edges. No, that's not what God's word tells us. It says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can understand it? It says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The condition of man is not basically good. It's basically evil. The darkness inside is significant. The chasm between people and God is huge. It's infinite. So for these reasons, if you have ears to hear, come to Jesus. Because he's the only one who can rescue you from Satan's domain, from the world's push, and that rebellion against God. He alone can break the power of sin in your life and set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, while our song leader comes, and I'm not sure which corner he's coming from, but he's coming. I'm going to read those first 3 verses again. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest.